perfect, and you thanked him, therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you the brocha and the atzlocha and the shefa automatically because you said Alah Nisim, thank you. You're the one who said thank you, you're the one who gets more. But if you forgot to say it in Noita Lecha, you didn't thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then afterwards you have to daven for it. Then we change it. Then a Rachman and Yassel on this, and later on becomes a tefillah. Because there I don't get it automatically because I'm not the kid. So if there would be another child another grandchild there who also wants a piece of cake, they've got to come and beg for it. They should go out and buy another one. But they've got to come and beg for it. So he says, if we say it on time, if we say it in Noid Alecho, in Va'ala Koil, then it is a Hoidor. And the Brocha comes Memela. He said, but if not, then we have to ask for it, so therefore it becomes harachma.
Started at the Turaway Northwest London, Sunday, Tetz Zion Ador, 16th of March, Rabbi Simchi Yakubovich Lita, from Purim to Pesach with four sons. This week's Torah was sponsored by Mr. Cheskel Ebert, the first Simcha Mitzvah of Menachem Ebert Neriyo, which was yesterday. He wrote in Shizkio, her role was Uzkeino, Rav Nachas, Menikol Yatzei, Chalotzeihem, Reslos HaShoem, Va'achayilim, Va'melchamo, Sheachsu Lebotzeihem, Nesholem, Bimheiro.
You know, before I came today, I asked myself, how do I start? And one of the reasons I had to come late today is, I walk at the boys' clubhouse in the evening with certain boys who've been through, let's just say, a very, very difficult life. And Baruch Hashem, the Gehila, they come together to support these young men. Over Shabbos, a young man delivered to two local rabbonim, very choshev rabbonim, who will remain nameless, who do an outstanding job for the kehilas, the shuls they run, and these bochur. And this bochur delivered very expensive shachmans. He saved the whole year to buy them, Adar Karas HaTov. But he never left the name. And they were left to do some detective work. It just happened this morning, I was talking to them. And they had to figure out who gave them the shalachmos. And this Rebbetzin happened to meet the other Rebbetzin. Because they were giving each other. She said, oh, I see you got the same beautiful delivery. She said, do you know who it is? They called up Grapevine. All this detective work, they had to try and figure out who it was. So one of them called me up and said, you want to ask the bocha why he did what he did? I call up this bocha. The bocha doesn't come from let's just say, the most learned background. And he says, yeah, I did Chesed Shalemes. So I said, Chesed Shalemes. So I was very puzzled. I don't understand. No one's dead. No, why Chesed? So Chesed Shalemes, the way I understand it is, it's Chesed, where no one has to thank you. It's a thankless job. So I looked at Purim. No, I'm not making this up, however. Just snap in the last 24 hours. And I felt that Hashem did all this chesed for us with Purim. He's done such chesed that I'm able to get out of gangs and where I was, and I'm brachshim moving forward with my life. That he did the chesed shlemus for me without me seeing the divine hand till afterwards. Isn't the idea of shalachmanus for me to emulate what Hashem did for me? I cried. I'll be honest with you, I'm a very sensitive person from this innocent perspective, this young man, by shalachmanus. That I need to emulate Hashem's derech. You can't. The Gemara Megillah says, and that's why I'm supposed to start with Shir, that we have Purim linked to Pesach. And the other Shem is so there, it's impossible to ignore. I had these kids in year six, and one of them came up to me, and he said, can we focus on Nishmas Kochai? Our Zilberstein, among other Gdolim, said Nishmas Kochai after these five buses didn't get blown up. He said what bothered him for such a long time was we were davening and davening that Hashem should protect Am Yisrael. And he realized after listening to the Gedolim that there is Hashem taking the tefillahs and he's protecting us. You know, the AM to the PM, little tiny details that these terrorists would have forgotten. It was a planned out attack. The Bunishim, the AM to the PM, you had to really mix these things up. Kadosh Baruch Hu works as nothing. The Rishna, the Heilig Rishna always used to say by Pesach, the Yad HaKadosh, the Yad of Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu's argument with the Ribbono Shel Olam was make a natural phenomena. Take Am Yisrael out with a natural phenomena. Why is it that when it comes to Nisim, we have to have these Nisim? And Hashem explained to Moshe Rabbeinu that the nation is not on your level, that they can see me in a natural phenomena. More than that, Chazal explained it was for the Mitzrim as well, to wake up and recognize the Ribbono Shel Olam. in nature itself. L'rachayim HaKadosh, I cannot stress this enough, says in Parshas Lech Lecha, Avraham Avinu was the only one. Moshe Rabbeinu, when it came to speaking to Hashem, first sees a vision, a burning bush. Yaakov Avinu, for example, he sees a ladder. There's a vision that comes prior to the Kohel Hashem. Avraham Avinu didn't have to, because he noticed and saw Hashem in nature. It's a very high level. I'm not just talking he enjoyed the wind in his face and saw some natural. No, he recognized how to the last atom the Ribbono Shel Olam runs everything. And so Hashem did not have to give Avraham Avinu a vision. Why is this so important? The four sons are discussed in great detail by many, many commentators. How do I understand the four sons? People tell you it's dangerous, but the most common effect is you don't have a dysfunctional family going on. It's quite worrying. When you start with the four sons, some who's never learned Torah before, some might just have daughters, always like those questions when they get those. Then you can imagine four sons at the Seder table. It sounds crazy. The wise son, one has to be a Rosha. It's the old question, the Vavitch always like to highlight, the Rebbe said, when it came to the Rosha, why is the fact that he shows up to the table? So we're going to go through them. I won't keep you too long. I understand there was a delay. Chochem, Mahu Oimim. First of all, the Mefarshim have an issue with Chochem to Rosha because many actually change certain Lashonis because how similar they actually are. Sfas Emes points out that, and we're going to use both of the Mesas Hashem over here, there's no way one, Mesas Hashem will say you can't say somebody is any level towards a tzaddik without prerequisite of actually studying Torah. Otherwise, you'd be ignorant. There's a need to be able to learn Torah. Chochem is a chochem. And classically, I brought this in last time as I said I would launch into the four sons. There are four personalities, as one said to me once, four elements, if you will, that really define the person. We all have a bit of each of these sons that we need to work on. So as we go into the Agadol Shel Pesach, the four sons is more of a Mr. Haskell we need to focus on. The one who never shows up, well, from good Yidden, we show up to the table, generally speaking, you know, we open the door to everybody else, we're there. The Chochem is the Ramban, and the Ramban never wrote in the Agadah. I actually saw this was many, many years ago. Haskell released a book on the Ramban and the Agadah, where they collected all his thoughts on the Torah. It's a fantastic Sefer. And they bring from Sefer Devarim, the Ramban says, Chochem is called the Chochem Lo Tzadik. Ramban black and white. Why? The Ramban explains, a Chochem is a child who inside of us is the person who thinks it's all about payback, Chokim. How am I paying back the Ribbono Shel Olam? Not understanding the Ribbono Shel Olam's chesed is so a mistake, it's for you. It's not for him. You're not paying back the Ribbono Shel Olam. Everything is done for you. A Tzadik is on the level we can understand it. He can appreciate that. A tzaddik understands that everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing for me is truly for me. There's no catch. A chochem is asking, Mois v'chukim. I don't understand the choik. If I can't understand the choik, how am I paying back the Ribbono Shel Olam? This is where the chochem lacks. But one who learns Torah rigorously understands the more he learns that everything is done for me. This is the famous Rabbi Mani in the Masechet Tanis where he goes up to his Rebbe, he says, I need this issue. They're mocking me. They're rich. They're poor. My wife, she's too plain looking. And every time his Rebbe does an ace. Until other time meet them think, Chabara, and they go to his Rebbe. You may give me a bracha. We could just, you know, we need to be very wise. I can't do it anymore. And the question is, well, he can do it. What's he saying? I can't do it anymore. It's left me. You can't do a bracha. Give a bracha. I can't do it because I'm playing with nature too much. Why should I go and affect nature? You have the Purim before the Pesach is a very powerful, impactful statement that the nature itself, the way our Kodesh Baruch Hu runs off, as Chazal teaches, that's when we accepted the Torah B'Ahava. You can actually see the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ribbono Shel Olam is apparent to us. Har Sinai, it's frightening. Tons of mountains over our heads. It's for your benefit. On Purim, it's the same thing as when Bilam Arasha came to curse Am Yisrael. We never ever heard the brachos that came out of Bilam's mouth. It's such a me, Matuvio Yelech Yaakov. It's like Kodesh Baruch Hu saying how much he loves you without you hearing it. You don't need to hear that at that point. He needs to guide you. Purim, you see the Ahava black and white within nature itself. Hashem says, there's no way a Jew will exist through time and then I won't love my Yid. He's mine and I'll keep him close. A Chochem, a person comes to say to him, he says, Kodesh Baruch Hu, I need to pay you back. Many times the Yitzhak will approach a person, he will make him feel inadequate. Look at this tzaddik, look what this person does. Today, I work in it, I see it. It's terrible. to say it's an epidemic of what I see with young Bokhrim and what they're going through, where they just don't feel they're good enough. It's insane. I see on the left and the right. On the right, I will get a Bokhr goes to yeshiva, and he will come back and he will quietly meet up with me. Not all the work is done in public, but we meet privately. It's a job we do for the gila in the evening. And they tell me, look, I can't do yeshiva. Why can't you? This Bokhr is smarter, that one does with more kavana. It's insane. And he feels so small. And he says, my mother brought me a set of all these gedolim. You know, Baruch Hashem, we don't act from a gedolim. I'm just not going to be that guy. He says to me, I can't. I will never make it. And on the left, I got the guy who's from a super, super, super modern family, who just about keeps the stuff. He'll come and say, I'll never be a famous YouTuber like that guy. I'm never going to make it big on social media, you know, and I'm never going to open up with social media like Mark Zuckerberg did in his youth. And I'm like, whoa, you know, I don't want to get this and that. And the response I usually have to Bokhrim is, you don't go to yeshiva. I once had a mother who came to me. She says to me, my son, I'm not very pro that you've convinced him to go to yeshiva. You know, both parents were lawyers. They weren't that kind of lifestyle. I don't want him to become a rabbi. So, no. So I asked the mother, what do you do for a living? She says, I'm a lawyer. Do you have a driving license? She goes to me, yes. So are you a taxi driver? She goes to me, no, but you drive a car. Surely you're a taxi driver. She says, no, but don't people drive cars make money from driving cars? She says to me, yes, but I have a driving license to drive safely. So a smart woman got where I was going with this. Yeshiva and what we give our children in Torah and Yiddishkeit, we don't need that. The Rambam was a doctor. Okay, he had to make a panasa. Who was around Russia in a vineyard? Who was he? Rabbi Yochanan Sunday, who was he? All the gedolim had to work and make a panasa. It wasn't about that. They knew a Torah meant it was Torah. It was a derech and made you into a better person. South Korea ran a documentary on I think it was Ponovich a while back. And they went in with cameras. It was the most best comedy I'd ever seen in my life. They come up to them and said, so tell us, you know, isn't it amazing your Gemara, one of the Rabbanim there, isn't it amazing your Gemara? It helps you. They're very into the Talmud there. You know, you think we're impressive with art school. They got all these, you know, I can't, the language which explains the Gemara. They're very into the Talmud. I had the other week a Talmud from Sheffield. He has a student from South Korea. Got all excited that he's Jewish. He's never opened a Gemara in his life. He said the first time he's opened a Gemara, it was in a different language. It was not English, it was from South Korea. And this guy's saying, look, look about the cow and this. And he's like, I better go to Gomorrah. But they went into, they did the whole thing, and they asked, the one wrong. Isn't it amazing how it opens your mind? He says, it opens my heart, it makes me into a better person. He looks at the person completely confused. That's why I'm learning. We lose sight of what Torah is supposed to do to our neshama. It's the old joke they say of a rabbi who goes through JFK and this lady comes up to him, one of the managers, do you mind putting a mezuzah on my front door at the office? He goes to put the mezuzah, and as he's about to put the mezuzah, there's no parchment in. It's just an empty piece. He says, lady, where's the parchment? The instructions, I threw them away. You know, when it comes to what it means to have a mezuzah, what it means to be a yid, the pnimius, what it is to be a yid. A chacham is a chacham, he can't be a tzaddik. You mistake the shurim, puts a chosid, don't worry, not the shrimal wearing type. You know, puts a chosid of what it means to have real pity and really reach those levels, much higher than the tzaddik. That levels to what it means to reach it. That a chacham can't be, the Ramban explains. The Ramban says a chacham is not a rasha, but he's not a tzaddik. He doesn't reach that level of his avonah. The rasha is very straightforward for many people. Yeah, I know a rasha is. We don't really. In Russia, actually, is quite frightening. It happens on a daily basis. The Marshal says how we were supposed to actually look into ourselves. And this is, again, the Marshal. I will always stress to take a look at the Gemara Shabbos, Kuf Yotes Amid Beis. If one really dissects that Gemara and looks at how all these reasons fit in, as we mentioned last time, towards the Churban Beis HaMikdash, one can understand how easy it is to go down the path of a Rasha. Our definition, according to Rashi, of a Rasha by Yidden, look very carefully. Whether the Meraglim comes up, that they didn't learn from Miriam, they called Rishoyim. It comes up by Koyach, Choladosei, that's where the line Rishoyim comes in. Despite the fact, Chazal say, understanding what it is to be a Rasha, understanding what the definition of a Rasha is, with Shabrini referring to Snavirim, where they hit each other, was much deeper than that. A Rosh's attitude is looking to make a complete and utter separation. It's not the Bokhr who went to McDonald's and fell. It's not the person who couldn't work in the Shemir Sinaim. Or that's not a Rosh, a person can do teshuva. A Rosh is somebody who comes and separates the Achdus of Magam Yisrael. Why? And this is very, very straightforward. I'm not going into a whole tangent about this, by the Daflaga. Shmuel Yerushalmi brings it down when he talks about Micha and the Avodah Zarah that he made, and he brings several midrashim just to back it up, where there's no achdus, there's no chance to survive. We mentioned last time, this was Homan's entire approach, where he mentioned, I said this in the previous year, the Kemitzer that was able to push off all his 10,000 silver talents, because suddenly he saw there was achdus among Amisol. What's the Kemitzer? You're talking about the Omer. Similar as Chazal Kabbal Mincha, which is the idea where it comes from. A Kabbal Mincha is the idea that anyone, rich or poor, can bring a carbon. It's not just you that Homan Chabbat at that point, that it was impossible to destroy Am Yisrael. Bianca Galinsky says the idea of being able to bring a Korban Mincha, that he's still talking about Kemitzah, was, he was surprised, there's no Beis HaMikdash, we're still learning it. The attitude of Am Yisrael will continue going, of a Kemitzah from Oimer, or from a Mincha, that even a poor man can bring it, it shouts and screams out to the nations of the world, you don't have to be the richest, you don't have to have the most. You have to keep connected with the Rebbeinu Shem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees every single Yiddish in the Shomer as equal to each other when it comes to the service of the Rebbeinu Shem. There's no difference to the Rebbeinu Shem. There's no period between the two. Korach and Chaladosi were justified in their actions. It wasn't for one second that they weren't justified. One can look deeper and deeper. Yaakov Kuli brings it down that with regard to Korach, they justified it almost to what we would equate to communism. That a communist approach of being able, you ever wonder how everybody could be a kohen? No, they would take turns to be a kohen gadol. They would take turns. It would be fair. Same way Kohanim would have turns taking over their role. There would be some issue, whether it was a mishmar, whether it was a group, everybody would have a turn. But for kohen gadol, everybody would get a chance. Every week, getting another kohen gadol. That was a genius approach. So you have communism. That's the best approach that they came up with. Why? Equality. You should all be equal. But where someone to actually learn the Gemara, or learn the Gemara Megillah, or break down the fact what it means to be a Talmud Chacham, and to give them the right to lead benching, where the Torah says not just anybody can go along and have that right, Talmud Chacham should be put on a much higher level, one would step back and understand. Their approach to Moshe Rabbeinu was a very, very hard one. The Rishon, what's the Rosh's approach? Let's take a look at the Machlokes of Korach. The entire argument to Moshe Rabbeinu was, what makes you holier than us? You're not holier, the words in the Torah. Straight out, they say to Moshe Rabbeinu, they say, Kulam Kadoshim, we're all holy. It's the most nasha thing to state. It doesn't make any sense. How does everybody end up holy? Moshe Rabbeinu stood in Har Sinai, he gave you the Torah. He didn't die when he heard the Kol Hashem, you died. So your argument is, we're all holy, that doesn't make any sense. We're all holy, everyone's holy. How does it make sense? How can you be holy if you all died and he didn't? He gave you the Torah. What are you saying to Moshe Rabbeinu? You think that you're better than us. The whole Kahal is holy. Upshot. Upshot's like this. We're all holy. How did Moshe Rabbeinu end up with such level on the board? Because he represented the entire Am Yisrael. His power was given an increase. Same reason Bilam had more koyach than Moshe Rabbeinu in the element of Nevuah, because he represented the entire non-Jewish world. So the more people you've got, the greater your koyach. That was Bilam's strength. Moshe Rabbeinu koyach said in the Chol HaDosei, they say the only reason you have what you've got is because this entire holy killer that you're representing. Not shut just behind that. We're all holy, we all stood by sin, you represent all of us. So your koyach is because of us. There's nothing special about you, uniquely. You can't tell us from your high level of Kedusha. Turns around, Moshe Rabbeinu. It says nothing. And what does the Midrash say? That's his godless. He tried still to approach him with Shalom, with peace. Of the Yisraelites, he was an honor of Anivus. Bilam could surpass Moshe Rabbeinu in elements of Nevuah. I always like comparing it to children. They ask me, how would I compare the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu? You have a kid, we'll ask you this question. To that of Bilam. Bilam and Moshe Rabbeinu. Bilam's got greater Nevuah than Moshe Rabbeinu. I always say, imagine a smartphone that can't make phone calls. And you can Google what you want, but you can't talk to anyone. Moshe Rabbeinu's got his brick phone, but he can talk to the Rishon whenever he needs the answer. It's a complete different approach. I'd rather have my brick phone speaking directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than having to go through all the Nevuahs. You'll never have the same relationship. Sadly, that's the best analogy I had at the time. But with regards to, Moshe Rabbeinu's anivus is what made him the Moshe Rabbeinu. Koyev Chololasi were Rishonim in their approach. Each person, again, it's hard to say, because it's brought on by Chazal a few times, and the world talks about it, that at the end of the day, they want to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Mesias Yisharam teaches us, Ramcha highlights it, if you want to be close to the Rebbeinu Shleilam, and you want to do a mitzvah, but it's going to cause any form of separation between you and another, you don't do it. How many times do you find, be it in the Gemara Brachos, be in any place when it comes to tefillah, if you're causing it tzar to anyone else, Gemara Megillah, I keep referring to, talks about how one has to be careful when you are leaning from the Torah. There are people who are working, and the way you're set up, we take them into account. The accountability the one Yid has to give for another Jew is, so every one of us might not be a Rosh Chalila, but the Yitzhar wait said to be able to put any kind of period between the Yid. That's the element of a Rosh. How can one come to a Pesach Seder table, feel exalted the one night when the Shekhinah is actually there with us, and still make that separation? Tom is a tzaddik. Tom is not simple. Samson Phil Hirsch highlights it about the Tom. It's very interesting. Tom, people put down the simple son. The simplicity is the brilliance of the Tom. And this is the question that anyone who works in outreach will find themselves many times dealing with. Going into Kiruv, one of the things that surprised me most was when a person approached me and said, can you please tell me the meaning of life? Now, you have to understand, this guy didn't know much. And I was young. We're talking about younger, 16 years ago. And this guy says to me, can you tell me the meaning of life? So I told him, Medrash Rabbah. Medrash Rabbah says the world was created for Bikurim. And I explained to him the concept of Bikurim. And he looks at me, are you telling me God created the world for a basket of fruit? That's the meaning of life? So I took a step back and I said, let me explain it a bit better. I said, the idea of bringing Bikurim is that a person recognizes Arami Ovidovi, that Lavan tried to kill me, that we went down to Mitzrayim, that we were nearly Meshubbat there. The idea is brought in Kisava. You know, you always have it before Elul. You talk about Bikurim. When is it brought? Kisava. It's always fascinating to me. You always hear people shout, Parshas Kisaitse. Say Salam Alechom, Elul. You're going out to war against the Yitzhar. How are you doing Teshuva? Kisava seems pretty quick next door. You know, next week, Kisava arrived. Kisava is Benadam Lechaveri. You're reminded who you were. You were a ger in a strange land. You came from nothing. Of the Rebbe Shalom had Rachmanis on you. The same Rebbe Shalom, when you stood by Kiryas Yamsuf and the Malach said, I am not splitting for them because of their Avodah Zarah. You know what the Agodah says? Agodah says, Vayar Sonyenu Amaleinu V'lachatzenu. Rebbe Shalom Kron once said something very powerful. He was in the shul, and in the shul there was a young man who didn't exactly look the right type to be in the shul. And the guy says to him, you see the guy from down there? Look at that guy. Oh. Comes into shul like this. Okay, well, he might have had a hard life, but it's not right. So he says to him, isn't that your nephew or something? Oh, you're right. No, but you don't understand the levels he's been through. Oh, he had a hard life at home, he had this, he had that. I could have spoken to Cindy, turn around and bow me so and say, they went to Taurus. They had a hard life. Malach of the sea doesn't know this. They had a hard life. I could have spoken to Yasinenu. Amaleinu, lechatzenu, being oppressed, being afflicted. You could just call it tzar. You could just call it pain. You could be done with it. Went through so much pain. Tzar, one word, be done. The levels are on different levels. Only a father can understand the pain his child's been through. And somebody, an outsider, can't appreciate that same level when it comes to it. A person brings a bikurim. He's reminded the akaras hatov he owes the Rebbe Shlom. He comes from nothing. He doesn't actually himself of anything. The schus always never dries up. HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps coming back at the person. That's the goddess of the Rebbe Shem's connection to Am Yisrael. He doesn't let go. And that's true Ahava. Atom's question is genius. Atom says, Ma'idus? He says, Amazis, what is this? No, Eidus, Chokim, Mishpatim, what is this? Why is he asking that question? And some sort of Hush goes into it, and it's discussed more openly, I'm just aware of the time. He says, when it comes to Atom, we're not the only ones who've been freed from slavery. Many other people have been freed from slavery, not just the Jewish people. What is the godless who have been freed from slavery? And that's why we have to explain HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Chazam Mitzrayim. Mi beis avodim. There's a mindset of being a slave. There's a whole mindset. I will never forget parking with my grandmother, the car. And I'm going to try and be politically correct here. And as I parked my car, we get out of the car. I didn't realize the time. It was before everybody had apps on the phone. And, you know, you had to pay with the coins. And we got there. They were about to get a ticket. And the person from a certain ethnic minority, he sees me coming to the car. And I explained, you know, I've just come back with my grandmother, Olav HaShalem. around now physically. She was a survivor of what we would say the Holocaust. And she, yeah, she's there. And I said to him, please, sir, my grandmother was hard to walk. You park closer. No, I let you off. I said, thanks, bro. He looks at me, you don't get to do that. He began to break down, culture appropriation, and I was a whole shit over there. My grandmother didn't really follow what was going on. She's just like smiling and nodding her head over there. So he says, what do you understand of what my people have been through? You're a Jew. You're entitled, he gives to me. He says, you know, his words, you're a white boy. You know, you've got to all figure out. I smiled. I said, well, I can't really comment for myself. I said, Yetzias Mitzrayim, went out of Egypt, survived two holy temples which were destroyed, went to slavery a few times. In both time periods, our lives were completely put at stake. Millions of Jews died along the way. Crusades, Inquisitions, I began to list. The guy's face, he looks at me, brilliant question. I said, I don't understand. What's the difference in your attitude to my attitude? I said, I'll tell you what the difference is. You've suffered, I give it. We should respect every single minority. What you've been through is tragic. The Jewish attitude through our suffering is we always make a meal to celebrate the fact we survived. We sit together for Purim. Even when we lost the temple, we will sit and cry, but we'll pray for the positive outcome that will come out of it. We thank God that all our rabbis who survived, we're able to keep the Torah still going. There's a thankful approach to every single event that we experienced. He said, your approach, if I may, he said, you may, is that, you know, your neighbors who had a terrible time and society gave you a really hard hand. I said, but so did mine. So did we. The difference was we knew how to thank God for it. We knew how to make something out of it when we saw the divine hand. And I said, would you like to meet the Holocaust survivor? My papa tells him, no, we need to go. So, really, you know, emotional. Shene de Alishoel, I'll end up with this. Shene de Alishoel is brought by countless Mepharshim about what makes him the worst. The Rashbam, others actually bring it up. The Orchaz Chaim brings it up. The Shene de Alishoel's approach is the worst approach. It is categorically the worst approach. He doesn't see any reason to make any comments. I got nothing to ask. It's fine. The world works automatically. There's nature and the science. I'm good. You could quote Inna Bais Shnoimid. You can say many things. I would have gone further, but because of all of the time, I'm sorry. But Shene de Alishoel's approach is incorrect. You must always be Mavakish, and you must always ask. Shene de Alishoel is the one that we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did all this to me when I went out of Mitzrayim. You don't have to haka his teeth. You don't threaten him. He's the one that requires the most help for you to really highlight the beauty of what it is to be a Jew. He will sit there inside each of our... HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. Many Yidden, many people, we all have it. Yad Hashem, it's beautiful, it's beautiful. There are moments and times where the Yetzer will come to us and say, oh, but, you know, it doesn't look good. Oh, but we've reached a brick wall. That Shene de Alishoel is the one that we need to do the most work with. Because of the time, I'm stopping. Shkoyach. Thank you. Shkoyach. Ich habe mich danach mit Mama und ich habe mich 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 mit